So hi, I'm just a guy on the internet, and welcome back to my show. Today we're going to be talking about what just happened. So the Republicans look like they swept the board. They won everything. They won the House, they won the Senate, they won the White House, they even won the popular vote, something that hasn't happened in like 20 years. I think the last Republican to win the popular vote was George W. Bush. So, you know, Harris and Waltz did lose basically the whole thing. And we're going to talk a little about why that happened. So a lot of people are trying to say, you know, America is inherently racist and sexist and homophobic and all these kinds of things. And I don't think that's true. It looks like Harris just got caught in an incumbency trap. So she looks like she kind of had to bear all the weight from the things that people didn't like about the Joe Biden administration without being able to benefit from incumbency because, you know, point of fact, to be fair, she wasn't the incumbent. There's an old hand from the 90s, I want to say, and that's James Carville, one of Bill Clinton's top guys, and he was trying to say, you know, a lot of people didn't know who Harris really was. A lot of people didn't know why she was running for president. A lot of people didn't know what she was about. And I know every president, every campaign is going to release, you know, hundreds of pages of their plans to do, you know, whatever, what have you. But for most presidents, they really only got 3 to 5 things that they're going to focus on, and most of them don't even get that done. So I think there's some truth to what he was saying. But I will say this, she started out pretty strong. You know, there was vibes and Brat Summer and all that stuff, and she was staying positive, and she was talking about what she wanted to do for the country. And I think she had a pretty good shot there. It's only later when she did well in the second debate. She did pretty well there. But it's only later when she started to do more interviews and she started to go more negative and everything she was talking about was just about, you know, how much she didn't like Donald Trump and she thought he was a threat to the country. And people kind of hear that everywhere. If you want to pin it down to a single moment, and I don't think that's true. I mean, that's a good story, but I don't think that's how politics actually works. And this thing, I think this was James Carville again. He was saying that she did an interview for The View. And during that, she was asked, you know, what would you do different from what Joe Biden has done? And she couldn't think of anything. And that was pretty telling because people were pretty unhappy with the way the country's been going. So let's talk about why people aren't happy, kind of why they voted the way they did and what it meant for the campaign. So a lot of people are very unhappy with the way the economy was. I know you probably heard like a lot of news people saying, you know, old traditional media, network news, those people saying that the economy is great and all these things are going wonderfully, and that turned out not to be true. So while inflation has been a global problem, and it was spiked up to such levels that the increase in inflation completely wiped out all of the gains that people made in salary, you know, there's that meme going around, all this over a price of a carton of eggs, and I say, yeah, it makes a lot of sense, because it wasn't just about the price of a carton of eggs. It was about people being unable to afford the, you know, essentials of life. Not being able to afford, you know, gas so they can go to work. Having to put groceries on a credit card. Going into debt over groceries. So that was kind of messing up a lot of people's lives. And, you know, crime wasn't doing that well either. Again, like the news chopped in with, you know, crime is actually down. Things are going well. Crime is down 2%. And that turned out not to be true. It looks like crime is actually up 4%. According to the FBI, they had to revise their statistics, and that may not sound like a lot, but in a nation of 350 million people, an up increase in 4% in crime is a hell of a lot. Same way, like the Bureau of Labor Statistics had to bump up their numbers. They said the economy is doing really, really well. They had to revise that again and say we're actually hundreds of thousands of jobs short from where we were supposed to be. So that really contributed to a loss of trust in that case and, you know, just sort of disconnect between what people were saying and what people were experiencing in their day-to-day lives. And, you know, we'll talk about one of the elephants in the room, immigration. So regardless of how you or I or anyone feels about immigration, whether you're pro-closed borders, pro-open borders, you know, how you feel about the Dreamers or what have you, immigration was just like way out of control. Pretty much everyone agrees on that. It was just more than we could deal with, more than anyone could deal with. You had millions and millions of people crossing the border, and that can, you know, over time, it can do a lot of stuff. But for the right now, that really did make the job market worse for a lot of people, a lot of legal immigrants and people climbing more toward the working class that was not helping them. And they already weren't doing well. And it was just beyond what we were able to absorb. And, you know, for a lot of people, especially young people, Gen Z and millennials and people like that, you know, they're working a job, they're working two jobs, they're working overtime, and a house still seems like a fantasy to them. Like the American dream still seems really far away. And having millions of extra people chasing the same amount of houses was not going to help that. So a lot of people just felt ignored, and they felt like their concerns weren't being taken seriously. And they're hearing all the time from the people who are supposed to inform them a version of reality that didn't match their lives, didn't match, you know, what they were experiencing day to day. So what people were really looking for was change. And, you know, Harris was kind of given the impression of, you know, steady as she goes, status quo. And so Donald Trump kind of by default became the change candidate. He did have new ideas, you know, fairness to him, he did. And this also led to a huge loss of credibility for the media, not just because they were so wildly wrong in their election predictions, but because they just kept telling people something that they knew wasn't true in their lives. You know, there was also two wars on in Ukraine and in Gaza in the Middle East. You know, there's 500,000 people dead now from the war in Ukraine, and who knows how many have died in the Middle East and Gaza. And our leaders just kind of across the board weren't telling us, you know, what we were doing there, why we were there, and what it would even look like for us to win. And this overall was just calling into like a crisis of competence where people just didn't think their leaders had it in them anymore to deliver. But things will get better. But before we move on to that, we should talk about one of the other elephants in the room. And that's sort of the idea that wokeness or people not liking wokeness played a role in this election. I do think that's true, especially in a lot of the swing states like North Carolina or Georgia. So even though the Harris campaign didn't really go hard into that, just that being really strongly associated with the Democratic Party probably did damage her in those states. So, you know, for example, you could have like a liberal Republican out in Virginia or something, and they could be pro-choice, but sort of the Republican Party being associated with pro-life and, you know, Roe v. Wade and all that, that could still sink that candidate. So I think, you know, point of fairness, people really didn't like that. They didn't like the idea of sort of transgender people in women's sports or, you know, kids being transgender or that being promulgated in schools. You know, whether you agree or disagree with that, you should know that was a factor. And we should also say, you know, credit where it's due. Trump and the guy did run a hell of a campaign. They had an amazing data analytics operation, you know, with Elon Musk. He really reached out to young men through a lot of new media, through a lot of podcasts. And I think that's a good thing. I think there should be more participation in elections. But, you know, change has to come. And though it may be difficult or strange sometimes, I mean, it is going to come. And that's all right. So I think we should be hopeful. You know, Donald Trump is going to say a lot of wild shit. He's going to fix some things and he's going to break some things. But we've been together through a lot as a country. And, you know, last time we did get, you know, a peace deal in the Middle East and even prison reform out of the Trump administration. So I think we should be hopeful. I mean, he is now the president. He did win the election. And again, we've been through a lot of stuff together. And, you know, while 25, I think, is going to be kind of a challenging year. We've been through challenging years before and we always came out ahead. We always came out better for it. Well, this has been my podcast. I hope you feel better about it and you learned a little something. And thanks for listening. And remember to like, share, and subscribe. All right, this has been me. I'm out. And oh yeah, happy Thanksgiving. All right, bye.